Lord, we do come before you as your people, and we do give you thanks and praise that you hear our prayers, that we can approach you, that we have all these good requests, Lord, to bring to you. We thank you that we can open up your word now. We do thank you, Lord, for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. We thank you, Lord, for our elders that have been so faithful to bring the word to us, Lord, and other men as well. We just pray that you would bless this time now. We pray that you would build us up. We pray that we would see Christ, that we would delight in him. And we do pray all this in your son's name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let me first start off by saying, praise the Lord that we're back in our evening services. Can I get in? Thank you, brother. I've missed hearing you guys pray. I miss hearing you guys sing. I miss hearing my fellow brothers bring the word. And I'm so excited to have a brother Julian and Sam join the rotation. It certainly feels like forever since I've been up here. And it would be safe to say that a lot has happened since that time. A pandemic, riots, shutdowns are just a few things that come to mind. We also have a few buzzwords that had never been more polarizing in my lifetime. Words like masks and vaccines. One of the biggest buzzwords that comes to my mind is culture wars. And it's pretty hard to get away from. You turn on the TV, they're talking about it. You turn on sports, they're talking about it. From politics to even school board meetings, you can't get away from it. But don't worry, as I'm not here to talk about the culture wars. But I do have a concern. Is it possible that the church has become so concerned with the culture that we have forgotten that there are battles to be fought that are closer to home? James 3:16 reads, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice." The words I want us to think about and meditate on are a result of earthly wisdom. We'll see from our verse that there are two wars that spring forth from this type of wisdom that James also calls unspiritual and demonic. The first war is the war in the inner being. The second is the war in the body. If you will follow along, we'll read from verse 13 on to help us get our footing. "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." If you were to ask me to sum up one of the main teachings of James in two words, I would answer with, "Show me." You say that you are a hearer of God's word. Show me. You say that you have faith. Show me. You say that you are wise. Show me. James is not interested in us just knowing a bunch of spiritual truths, but he wants to know, what are you doing with it? Are you living it out? Is it producing good fruit in your life? Is it affecting your speech, your prayer life, and how you respond to trials? Is it producing humility? godly fear, and a greater dependence upon the Lord. In the passage that we just read, we see that James asks a disarming question that follows his train of thought. Who is wise and understanding among you? How you answer it depends on if you are living according to the wisdom that comes from above or the wisdom that is earthly. The wisdom that is earthly leads us to our first point, which is the war in the inner being. We see this from the text, from the first part of our verse, which reads, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist." When Pastor Paul assigns me which verse I am to preach, there are many times that I say, "Really, brother? Why you gotta do me like that? I thought we were cool." I would have picked any other verse but this one. There have been times I even thought about texting him and asking him, "Brother, can you give me another verse?" But I haven't gained the courage just yet. This is one of those verses. It was a reminder to myself that, yes, there are lots of things wrong in the world. There are issues with our government, economy, and school system. There are people who have wronged me and my family, coworkers who may have misjudged me, and friends who have let me down. But this verse led me to ask myself, how much time have I spent focusing on all that is wrong out there versus what may be wrong in here? It is a challenging verse, as it is a reminder that even though we are redeemed, there are times that we follow earthly wisdom, which leads to jealousy and selfish ambition, raising their banners to march forth from our hearts. And jealousy and selfish ambition are two of self's favorite generals in his army. They only seek self's own interests and desires and will do whatever it takes to get it. In stark contrast to the wisdom from above, they are fueled by impurity, division, deceitfulness, stubbornness, and pride. Their banner reads, "It's all about me, me, me." It is no wonder that earthly wisdom is also called unspiritual and demonic. It does not rejoice with the truth, but it delights in lies and falsehood. It will burn with anger towards someone else if they have something that it wants or a status that it desires. This anger evolves into murder in one's heart and can spring forth all other types of sins. And as difficult as it was to prepare this devotional for my own heart and to deliver it even now, I'm grateful as we need these heart checks. So my dear brother, my dear sister, how are you doing with jealousy and selfish ambition spiritually, relationally, and materially? Spiritually, if you are a leader or a teacher, are your motives and actions driven by a desire to be praised and to be seen as godlier than everyone else? Do you get frustrated when you do not receive positive feedback from the congregation or receive credit for what you think you deserve? Brother, sister, what is in your heart when you see someone serving in a certain ministry that you do not have but want? Or you see someone exercising a gift that the Lord was just not pleased to give you? Do you get upset when someone else gets credit for serving, even though you put in twice the work and effort? Or how do you respond when you see another church member growing in leaps and bounds, and you look at your own growth and it seems so slow? Relationally, do you deal with jealousy when certain families seem to be invited over all the time, and you cannot remember the last time you got invited? Does it bother you that a fellow brother or sister has the gift to strike a conversation like that, and you struggle just to form a friendship that takes them a moment to make? Materially, do you compare yourself unfavorably to another family who may have a larger house, nicer clothes, or a larger salary? Do you resent them and tell yourself, if I only had what they had, things would be different? It could also be that your children just seem more obedient. Their marriage appears to be happier. It could even be that they have a prolonged season of good health and material blessing. I don't know about you, but these questions hit closer for me than I probably want to admit. Proverbs 27:4 states, "Wrath is cruel, anger is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy?" After thinking through all these questions and answering yes to some of them, our response should be no one. The harsh reality is that no one can stand against jealousy, as it is fierce, relentless, and always wants more and more and more. Truly, it is something that is impossible with man, but praise be to God that it is possible through him. And there are three God-centered ways that I would like us to meditate on that are great weapons to wield in this war against jealousy and selfish ambition. The first way is the Lord's generosity. James 1:17 states, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Dear saints, everything that you have is a gift from the Lord, especially your salvation and all of its benefits. In eternity past, he gave you the gift of his steadfast love when he chose you in his Son. And at this point in time, he sent forth his Son to live a perfect life so that you could receive the gift of his perfect righteousness. And at the cross, our most blessed Savior drank the cup of his Father's wrath so that our cup could overflow with every spiritual blessing. And at the moment that he purposed, he gave you the gift of the new birth by his own will. Beloved, there is no one more blessed than you. We have been predestined, called, justified, and we can be certain that we will one day be glorified. Not only has the Lord given us every spiritual blessing in the heavens, but he has given us one of his greatest gifts on earth, each other. The moment that we were saved, he blessed us with multiple fathers and mothers, numerous brothers and sisters, and spiritual children that we were yet to nurture and train. In speaking with Julian the other day, I was telling him how I would not be the Christian that I am today without you guys. I wouldn't be the father. I wouldn't be the husband. I wouldn't be the worker. I wouldn't be the friend. And I know that many of you share that testimony as well. In light of all this, how could there be jealousy in our hearts? How could there be selfish ambition? The Lord has given us everything, and he did all the work. It was his plan, his grace, his mercy, his faithfulness, his steadfast love that did it all. Even our repentance and faith were gifts from his wonderful hand. And he's also given us his excellent ones, what the Apostle Paul called his joy and his crown. May his wonderful generosity help us in this great battle. The second weapon that we can wield in this war is contentment. A.W. Pink said that contentment, then, is the product of a heart resting in God. It is the soul's enjoyment of that peace that passes all understanding. It is the outcome of my will being brought into subjection to the divine will. I really love that phrase, contentment being the product of the heart that rests in God. Contentment is key in this battle as it allows us to trust in God and rest our battle-weary hearts in him. It allows us to look at our circumstances and gifts and say, this is from the Lord's hand, and it is enough. It even looks at our trials and can see with the eyes of faith that they are being used for our good and that all of our days are in his hands. With this mindset, we can be okay with the material blessings that the Lord has given us, the relationships that he has provided, and the spiritual gifts that he has given us through his Spirit. Contentment can help us guard against jealousy and selfish ambition, as they are direct assaults against the Lord's plans for us. Instead of questioning his wisdom and providence, it trusts in him and recognizes that he knows best for his people. A third weapon that the Lord has equipped us with is prayer. James 4, 1 through 3 reads, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." Prayer, the most important weapon of the three, allows us to pray for generosity, for generous hearts, and contentment. And if you are struggling with selfish ambition and jealousy, this should be the first thing that you run to. Prayer cultivates humility as it acknowledges that we are but beggars and that we need the Lord's pity and mercy each day of our lives. It brings our struggles, sins, and sorrows to the Lord and tell some, "Lord, unless you act, unless you grant me the grace to overcome this, I cannot." It also helps us with our jealousy towards our brothers and sisters, as it is really hard to pray to be jealous towards someone when you pray for them constantly. Prayer also reminds us that the Lord is our Heavenly Father, and he cares deeply for us. Luke 11:11 states, "What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" When we have bitter jealousy in our hearts and question the Lord's provisions, we act as if we are surrounded by a bunch of snakes and scorpions instead of the multitude of blessings that the Lord has poured upon us. So, dear saints, let's pray. Let's pray rightly. Let's pray for hearts full of the Lord's generosity and contentment. Let's also pray this so that these sins will not cause harm to our fellow church members, which will lead us to our second point. The second part of our verse reads, "There will be disorder and every vile practice." From here, we will meditate on the war in the body. As is in the case of other parts of Scripture, we see that our individual sins not only affect us, but it affects the whole body. We see this when Paul addresses the Corinthians and deals with the jealousy and strife that was among them, and in Galatians when he lists out the works of the flesh, which includes jealousy along with dissensions and divisions. The writer of Hebrews even talks about a root of bitterness that can spring up and cause trouble, and by it, many become defiled. We see that jealousy and selfish ambition can lead to anarchy, civil war, and disorder in the church. Instead of looking like the body of Christ, she begins to look more like the Tower of Babel. But brothers and sisters, we should be so thankful that we have not experienced this in the life of our church. Fighting, quarrels, division, strife, and fits of anger bring sorrow and pain and suffering to a local body. What a blessing that we have not have had to deal with these things. Let us not forget this, as at least for me, it is something that is easy to take for granted. And even though this is the case, we should strive even more to avoid these vile practices. Ironically, one grand way that we can do this is by jealousy. Yes, that's right. I said jealousy. But not the sinful jealousy that we have been talking about, but the righteous jealousy and zeal that Paul felt for the Corinthians. He said in 2 Corinthians 2:11, "For I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. What I desire in myself and in our whole church is an increased jealousy for one another. I want us to be jealous for each other's eternal good. I want us to be praying for one another daily, that we carry each other in our hearts and in our thoughts throughout the week. I want to see each of us seeking one another out and finding out ways to encourage and build one another up. I want us to be motivating one another to be jealous for the Lord, his honor, and his cause in the world and in the church, as this is the catalyst that drives our righteous jealousy for one another. By God's grace, I do see this happening. But beloved, let's excel even more. At the end of the day, may we fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Never once did he experience sinful jealousy, but only a righteous zeal to do his Father's work and to build his church. He also never suffered from selfish ambition, but though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Even though we have many more wars to fight until our dying breath, let us praise our mighty King as he has already won the ultimate victory in our behalf. Let's pray. Lord, we do come to you and we do thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you expose our hearts and our thoughts. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us, and at times we don't want to hear it. But by your grace, Lord, you've given us your spirit, so we humble ourselves before your word. We confess, Lord, that there at times have been jealousy and selfish ambition in our hearts. We pray that you would forgive us, Lord. We pray that you would replace that selfish ambition for ambition for your work, that you replace that unrighteous jealousy with a righteous jealousy for your honor and for your work and for your people. We pray that you would give us that divine jealousy, Lord, that the Apostle Paul had. And Lord, we just give you thanks for Christ. We thank you that he was never jealous, that he never sinned, Lord, but he was zealous for you and that he is jealous for his church. Lord, we pray that we would fix our eyes on him, that we would find strength in him. And we do pray this all in his precious name. Amen.